Mini episode 1485 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge Mini Episode 1485. This is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris here. And it is a treat, as always, to get to have on with us one of our favorite FDH Lounge dignitaries. And he is also the proprietor of the fine column and podcast, Tomorrow Will Be Televised, now in its 12th year with the podcast. And you can read his columns at Media Village. And we have him on always to talk about the intersection of TV and technology going back over a long period of time. I've always enjoyed these conversations, and one of the things in particular that we have hit with him most years since we started doing that, if not all years, the TV upfronts and new fronts. Of course, in the last 5 years or so, give or take, the new fronts have come in with the digital presentations as well, and in this era with streaming being so omnipresent with all of the big media conglomerates out there and the way that it's being emphasized. Some of these are combination new fronts and upfronts. And Simon is somebody that does a tour de force here of covering all of these. And, of course, his great column at Media Village, you can go through as I did and be checking it out and reading through and getting his thoughts on the different events here. And we're going to drill down on that with him in this conversation. Always a pleasure, Simon. Welcome back to the show, my man.
Rick, it is great to be back. It's been an amazing time the last couple of months covering the upfronts and new fronts here in New York. It's great to see that the events were in person for the first time since the pandemic broke out 2 years ago. And I think it shows that New York City is coming back and people want to, rather than find out about what is new and coming in television via Zoom, to do it in person with live events.
Yes, I'm sure you had to be enjoying that. I know how much you enjoy getting in there and providing this coverage, and I know that these are probably some of the most fascinating events that you cover through the course of the entire year, because it our annual look at the landscape, company by company, going through here as far as what they see for the next year in television and digital television. And again, I was talking about this, that some of these ones end up being new fronts and upfronts together, because when you have some of these companies that have come together, such as you chronicled the first Warner Brothers Discovery upfront that they had. That is, of course, encompassing a lot of different platforms, Paramount Plus at the Paramount event there, the Disney one with all their different platforms that they have. Some of these ones end up being, I guess, pretty complicated when you go down the rows of all the different entities that are involved in the different presentations.
Well, I think the connecting point with all of them, actually there's two connecting points, Rick. The first one is, remember the scene in The Graduate, the very iconic scene where Dustin Hoffman is told to remember one word, and the one word is plastics?
That's right.
Well, right now, the one word that people in the TV and the advertising world are remembering is portfolio. What's happening is that the major programmers, whether it's Warner Brothers Discovery or Disney or NBC Universal, or what was now Paramount Global, formerly Viacom CBS, it's no longer using these events to sell a broadcast network or a syndication show or a cable network or networks. They are selling portfolios of services, services that involve broadcast network, linear cable, on-demand cable, and most importantly, services that are running on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. That is the way people are watching television. The latest stat, you know, Rick, is that 87% of all U.S. households now have at least one smart TV product, whether it is set by the likes of Samsung and LG and Vizio or TCL or Hisense, or the new sets that came out last year by Amazon and by Comcast, which owns NBC Universal. but it's also devices like Roku, like Amazon Fire TV, Google Chromecast, and maybe very soon something from Microsoft. And these are the ways that people are watching television, tens of billions of hours a month. And they're watching, whether it is mega content services like Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, Crackle, what I call the first generation of these services, the second generation, which is all the plus services from Apple TV Plus to Disney Plus to HBO Max and Peacock and so forth. And then all these new services, many by new players, many by communities of color that are running through these smart sets and devices, and also running through multi-channel bundles that go through these sets and devices, from Pluto to Tubi, now owned by Fox, Sumo, Kazag, Stir, Local Now, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It is the biggest television democracy that we've ever noticed in our lifetime. And it's only going to get bigger because the capability of these sets and these products continues to grow and grow and grow. We're starting to see interactivity happen. It looks like this will be the interactive advertising will break loose. Maybe shoppable ads, where you shop and order products and services without using a smartphone or a QR code. You do it off the television set. It is truly a transformational time, and it all boils down to programmers launching portfolios of services, not just one.
Absolutely, and again, you were on this far before just about anybody else. We've been having these conversations with you on the show going back, I think, even prior to 2010, as far as the media landscape and all of the different convergences that you mentioned there between the commerce and the content and the different platforms that the content is on. And that's one of these things where you look at it, and again, from a business perspective, it seems like bigger is better. When you look at what is happening with Disney, with Paramount, and some of these different ones here, as far as their ability to provide all these different things under one banner. Warner Brothers Discovery now being somebody in that family coming together as they have, just dumping everything in one huge basket as far as channels and platforms and everything else that they have in there. That seems like the smart thing if you can do it. NBC Universal, of course, with Peacock, that the ability to offer so many different things to so many different people. And well, if you don't like this, we have this. If you don't like this, we have this. And then many, if not all of them, have sports very prominently in there, which is something that most people to whatever degree are going to be very interested in. So it seems like a very good business strategy. And it seems, again, that it's no surprise why some of these companies are bulking up the way that they are, because if you can be a one-stop shop for so many different content and consumer desires, then that would really put you in a position to just be able to print money, you would think.
Yeah, and it's a versatile shop, too. Not just a one-stop shop, but a one-stop versatile shop, a one-stop diverse shop.
Mm-hmm.
And it's reached the point where if you gauge individual platforms, broadcast television, linear cable, et cetera, you are finding them more and more, and you really saw this with the upfront this year, that broadcast network television was on the low end of the totem pole because the ratings and the viewership is getting lower and lower and lower. And this is also the first upfront where if you're a broadcast network, your shows are either being simulcast by a mega content service or they're running the next day. If you're CBS, your shows are running live on Paramount Plus. If you're NBC, they're live on the next day on Peacock. If it's Fox, the next day on Tubi. If it's ABC, the next day on Hulu or Disney Plus. And if you're CW, you've got the CW app, which is now more and more smart TV set app. And a lot of people know the CW suggest that that's the way people are watching the CW, not broadcast. So the trick for the advertiser is, what are you buying? What viewership are you buying? Should you buy it all in one shot, or should you emphasize the people who are watching you on a mega content service or through a smart TV platform as opposed to broadcast and cable?
That's a very good point, yeah, because there are so many different ways to be able to consume the content. And one of the things that I find to be very interesting, the old Cold War term of criminology here, the way that a lot of pundits are trying to kind of glean the inner workings of some of these conglomerates, especially the newly created ones like the aforementioned Warner Brothers Discovery. And I happen to see, as somebody who is a very rabid AEW fan, a lot of nervous commentary about the fact that they were not really represented at the upfront there and didn't really seem to be front of mind for any of the executives that were there or anybody giving any of the presentations. So I wonder, from your point of view, having been to as many of these as you have over the years, is there anything that can necessarily be read into this sometimes as far as whether something gets emphasized or not emphasized, or is that potentially something that's being overblown in the minds of some people that are wondering how it might shake out for the next TV deal?
That's the trick, Rick, because if you have a portfolio, a wide range of portfolio services, there's always a chance that something is going to be left out in the cold, especially when you only have 90 minutes to 2 hours to make your case in one event. In the case of Warner Bros. Discovery, for example, and this was not just this year, but in previous years, Cartoon Network, Boomerang, the kids and family programming, the various services, was not given much script. Even Adult Swim only got one little 2 or 3 minute segment with the famous Adult Swim bumpers that people love. In the case of Disney, Star Wars, all the Star Wars content of Disney Plus was not looked at all, except for one little bit where Star Wars soldiers were trotted out to end the segment. Why? Apparently Disney wanted to save all the Star Wars news for the Star Wars convention out in Los Angeles. Also, Disney had a very unusual section where they ran a trailer of all these new scripted shows without telling people where the show was going to run and what the shows were. If you watch the Disney has three screens in their place, the Basketball City on South Street near the East River. And if you saw the center screen, you did not know, as each clip was running, what the show was or where it was going to play. Was it going to play on Disney Plus? Was it going to play on Hulu? Was it going to play on ABC, Freeform, et cetera, et cetera? If you saw the left-hand side of the screen, they did have a frame that told you what the show was. It still didn't tell you what the network was. And if you saw the left-hand side of the screen, you were also in the dark. I found that very confusing. Paramount did the same thing. Although, when they added their presentation, again, they didn't tell you what network these shows were going to be at in this one reel, but they did tell you the name of the show. And I know a lot of people found that very confusing and very surprising.
Yes, I would think so, yeah. I mean, how hard is it to properly identify? I mean, how much extra time does it take to do something like that? That's an excellent point. And I will say, too, you reinforced a point that you made in your column, and I felt a little bit better for the sake of AEW when I read this, that, as you said, Cartoon Network, Boomerang, Warner Brothers Animation really given short shrift at that upfront, as well as TLC. So AEW was indeed in very good company in that regard. So not much necessarily to be read into what happens with their next TV contract based on what upfront. One would hope, anyways, from my perspective. But it's always very fascinating to see the entire range of these things here. We've talked a little bit about some of the bigger boys involved in this. And then you start going down the line to some of the smaller entities. And I have to admit that prior to reading your column, and this is why people need to be reading it as much as they should be, again, I would not have known the ramifications of Televisa Univision, of just what a large entity that was post-merger. You did a very good job of underlining that, underscoring it, and that's one of those ones where I might have thought of that as being one of the sort of second-tier kind of things as you start going down the line here, but you make a very convincing case as to why that's a top-tier entity itself.
Yeah, Televisa Univision is right up there with the big boys. And I thought their event at the Javits Center was terrific. I was very surprised it did not get a lot of coverage by a lot of the entertainment press and a lot of the Hollywood press. Why? Up to them. And I think that what they're doing in the mega content space with two services, ad-supported VIX and then a subscription service, VIX Plus, is very interesting because one of the criticisms of Spanish language television has been not enough original scripted shows produced in the United States in Spanish with U.S. Latino writers, producers, and directors. It's been an issue with Univision for years, less with Telemundo because they do some of their shows in the U.S., in Miami, and in other parts of the U.S., but still it's not enough. We're going to see what happens, I think, this year with VIX and VIX Plus on the Televisa Univision side and with Telemundo with Peacock because they're doing a special set of screens. And by the way, I was surprised that Telemundo did not have its own upfront event. I think that was a big mistake on their part. They did have a concert event that Monday night of that week, but they did not invite press. They did not do a press conference beforehand, which they used to do, whether it was in person or virtual. I was really surprised at that. I think they could have used it.
That's an excellent point, Simon, because there's no hard and fast handbook on how to do these things. It's not like Every corporate entity only has one of these events here, as we talked about previously, the whole notion of upfronts and new fronts. I mean, the different corporate entities will handle it different ways. And the notion of peeling that off to do as a separate thing, particularly when it is such a large slice of your business potentially, especially moving forward, I would agree with you. That's a very surprising and probably not a great decision that they made to lump it all in rather than giving it its own space.
Yeah. To their credit, though, at the NBC Universal for NBC Musical, they did have some of the television personalities introduce shows. They had Andre Cantor, the wonderful voice of soccer, talk about the World Cup coverage that Telemundo will have later this year, men's side later this fall, and women's next year. In addition, we have some new players that are on their way up. Canela Media and Estrella TV, both of them had interesting upfronts during the New Front event. And also this new service called New Western TV that will be coming out very soon, which will be bilingual. And so we have a lot of new players coming into the marketplace, and I think the Spanish language field can be very, very exciting. One thing also to say, too, about Televisa, they have a television division. They have one of the biggest advocates for more Spanish language advertising, Donna Speciale, the former Turner executive. She was on fire at the Televisa Division event. And you have to give her credit because in the last year, she has really pounded the pavement among the ad agencies to spend more money on Spanish language advertising, whether it is on Televisa Univision, Telemundo, and their sister channels.
Well, yes. I mean, it's a rapidly growing market, and that's no special insight on my part saying that. I think that's something we all know. So it is a little bit surprising sometimes when entities don't put their dollars there a little bit more so. And there was another one of your columns that I wanted to touch on here as well, because more than any other journalist that I know, you have really been on top the whole time here of the evolving field in entertainment with diversity and where that's going and how that continues to evolve. And I thought that your coverage of the Crown Media up front was very interesting because Mahogany, that's something that I was not really personally familiar with, but you explored that as one of the ways that Hallmark is using to try and build out their audience and expand it. And it's going to be a very interesting case study to see how they managed to accomplish that.
Yeah, and Wani Lucas, who is now in his second year at Crown Media, is really starting to make big moves in terms of having Hallmark Channel, Hallmark Movies and Mysteries, and hopefully soon Hallmark Drama, become more of a source of original programming, especially among people of color and other underrepresented communities. Mahogany, by the way, will not be, as it turns out, the only Hallmark card brand that will be translated to television. It works in terms of the Latino situation, maybe an Asian American situation. We're going to see later this month in June a new Hallmark Movies and Mysteries film called Color My World with Love, which features for the first time a pair of actors with Down syndrome, and I think that's a big, big thing. I think Crown Media, which really has been one of the big players in linear cable and a big move in the MTV movie area. Two things I have to say about that. Number one, it looks like they're finally going to get one of the issues with Crown Media has been the lack of this series in the last couple of years. That, I think, has been a change under new programming head Lisa Hamilton Daly. They will have at least one new series next year. Mahogany will be a home for series as well as movies and maybe some of these other new brands that will come into play in 2023 with the same thing. I do think it was a mistake for Crown Media not to do an in-person upfront. Of all the companies that did not do an upfront this year, I really thought Crown Media was going to do it because their events at the Rainbow Room prior to the pandemic were always well attended. They were always given great high marks for how classy they were, and I think they may have missed the mark in terms of an opportunity. And they weren't the only ones. Game Show Network, I think, also should get back on the upfront trail. A number of other networks. I think some of the Paramount service like Comedy Central should consider doing it up front again. Nickelodeon, to their credit, did in person. Worked very well. Maybe Comedy Central should look at it. Maybe MTV should look at it. And BET also. They, I think, missed the boat. I was very surprised that BET did not get a lot of attention, especially with BET Plus and with the new BET Studios venture that Kenny Barrett is involved with.
Yeah, you would think that would have drawn a little bit more of attention there. I'm a little bit surprised at that myself. And As far as some of the entities that probably would be closest associated with your brand of Tomorrow Will Be Televised, that would, of course, whenever I think of that, I'm always thinking of the digital entities here and back to the new fronts. And
Rick, one more thing before you move on to the diversity.
Sure.
There is another player that, actually two more players we should think about. Tyler Perry with BET and BET Plus, and Byron Allen. Byron Allen is one of the great new entrepreneurs. He is really coming to his own. He does everything, whether it is syndication, whether it is cable networks, whether it's smart TV packages like Local Now, the Brio.TV, HBCU Go, Sports TV. He's doing a lot of multi-channel bundle work, and for the second year in a row, he did do virtually this upfront, or what he called this African-American-owned media upfront, where he's trying to encourage the major ad agencies to devote a certain amount of money, 5% of their annual budget, to African-American-owned media. It really picked up steam this year. Magna, one of the major ad agencies, did their own equity upfront. They're going to try to expand to cover not only African-American media, but also Latino-owned media, television included, Asian-American media, TV included. We're going to see an Asian-American network, by the way, come on at least once on the other fall, China TV, which Charter Communications, the major cable operator, is going to carry, and maybe gay and lesbian and Native American. So what Byron Allen has done the last 2 years, I hope next year he does it in person, I think is really catching on. The ad agencies are more, I think, committed than ever to devote some of their ad budgets to media owned by people of color.
That's an excellent point. I'm glad you mentioned Byron Allen, because this is somebody where, again, the more I learn about his life story, I almost think of somebody like Harvey Schiller, as far as, like, you know, big second act in his life, big third act, whatever. These titans out there that can just continue to reinvent themselves and take on and conquer new fields. You're right. He is one of the most interesting figures out there, I think, today.
And he just launched the Weather Channel in Espanol this past month, and that is headed for great things. I think the Weather Channel, getting that several years ago, and what he's done with that service, and Local Now, which is the multi-channel bundle that sprung up, it's one of the biggest multi-channel bundles out there, and now the Weather Channel in Espanol, it's an empire all its own, and he's taken that to the next level. And the sky is the limit. And no, let's not forget also that he also runs broadcast stations. And I have a hunch he might even get into the cable system ownership business soon, maybe the next generation TV business too. So continue to keep an eye on Byron Allen. For him, the sky is the limit.
Yeah, I mean, he just strikes me as the kind of guy right now where whatever he wants to be involved with, he's going to. He's been able to make it happen, and you got to take your hat off to somebody who has been able to do that and just continue taking on new frontiers, conquering them, and finding new ones from there. And again, as far as the part of your brand, Tomorrow Will Be Televised, that I always think of the most, that would be probably any of the digital entities here. And that would be back to the new fronts that we were talking about, because that is very, very much suggestive of, you know, the whole Tomorrow Will Be Televised brand, in my mind anyways, because that's where this is all going. Everything at some point is going to be pretty much digitally presented. I think even probably the network stuff down the line as that continues to evolve. Your coverage of the new fronts was interesting in the sense that I thought that you see something in there, like you had a column on the YouTube presentation, and I think of them as one of the granddaddies of the whole new front scene here. But then you've got, you know, Tubi under the Fox banner with everything that they're doing now. Tubi, sort of a newer player to being relatively big, and then brand new, cutting edge to being big, TikTok. I mean, the notion of them even having a new front is something that just blew my mind, because I don't know, again, exactly how they go about. Yeah, I don't know enough about them to know how they go about incorporating the advertising in there and everything. So it's a very, very, pardon the use of the term here, because I don't mean it in the socioeconomic sense of diversity, but diverse as far as the platforms involved here and the use of the new fronts to be able to promote the products that they're carrying.
Well, you know, Rick, it's been very interesting that on Smart Be Televised, which, by the way, will be marking its 15th anniversary in August, first Monday of August, that particularly over the last two and a half years, we have introduced people to more new networks than ever. it really has become a barometer of what is happening in terms of innovation, in terms of new channels. We have showcased everything from Wonderium, which is an interesting channel dealing with all sorts of topics in sort of a non-lectury, entertaining, enlightening way. We had Tom Skerritt, the wonderful actor. He now has a service called Evergreen Channel, which just picked up some ad support. It's a service that showcases Pacific Northwest talent behind the camera and culture in front of the camera. I think it's going to be a very important channel to watch. We just showcased a service called Rewarded TV, where the more you watch the programming, the more you're rewarded with tokens that you can cash in for NFTs and maybe cryptocurrency. It's a very interesting concept. There's a little skepticism out there about whether it will ultimately work, but that's something to at least keep an eye on. We're seeing all sorts of new networks get launched, and it really has been a privilege in a way over these last 2 years to showcase these services. And who knows? We don't know yet which of them will ultimately fly and fly big, but certainly given the number that's out there. And it reminds you of the early days of cable when you had a cable network announced every week. And now it's like you announce a new smart TV distributed service every hour more than somebody's going to fly. The other thing, too, is we are now at a point where the smart TV set makers and the device makers are no longer just collating content, collecting content. They are making content. They are making channels. Samsung is making channels. Vizio is making channels. One that we covered called Polaris, the hip-hop channel. Has former MTV and Revolt people, and that's based here in New York. LG is making channels, including a channel devoted to NCAA championships of all shapes and sizes. And Roku is now on a content-making spree. They're making series, they're making movies, they're making reality shows, they're getting into the lifestyle category, and they're also doing interactive television too, i.e., at least testing it out in terms of shoppable content. So these smart TV players now, they are no longer just trying to sell ads for content that they get. They're now selling ads for content they're making.
That is a very, very interesting evolution and very much worth checking out. By the way, as far as tomorrow will be televised, I would be remiss if I did not pass along a request from FDH senior producer Steve Servilla, who has become a huge enthusiast of the most watched drama on cable, Yellowstone. The request to you, Simon, that you book Taylor Sheridan to interview on your show. I would be remiss if I didn't pass that request along from him.
We're trying to get him. I'll tell you, we're trying to get him. We have tried very hard to get his shows on. I would love to have Taylor on. Taylor is one of the new entrepreneurs in terms of series television. He's got six projects in the works. His programming was very well featured at the Paramount Upfront, including a live appearance by Sylvester Stallone, who is doing one of his shows called Tiger King. It's based in Tulsa. He plays a mob boss. I think his performance is very interesting. He's very gung-ho on making the show. Taylor, along with people like Shonda Rhimes, Greg Berlanti, and so many others that are entrepreneurs, both mainstream, but also newcomers as well, including many of color. They're making the mark in TV. It's really a very exciting time in terms of diversity, in terms of diverse talent. And we're seeing also a lot of people get the first shot at creating, not only creating the show, but running the show. And that's thanks to people like Taylor and Greg Berlanti and Shonda Rhimes to make their trust into show creators and show producers and writers.
Yes, and for anybody aspiring in the show creating business there, that is a wonderful thing to see that they have been able to graduate into that and prove that it can be done. I will say also, too.
PR people, I'll take Taylor. We'll do an hour with him. So if anybody from Paramount Plus, the PR department, they got a very good PR department, give me a call, email me, we'll get him.
That is awesome. I would love to hear you interview him because I can't think of anybody that would do a better job than you of really getting to the heart of the matter with him and the creative process and how this whole Yellowstone verse, as it were, sort of came to be. And I will say also, too, that's very interesting as a business story because for the sort of sub-series that we've done on this show with FDH streaming editor Ben Chu looking at developments in the streaming business, the decision there, and this is something we had kind of questioned by Paramount, But selling off the streaming rights for whatever period of time to Peacock, that's something that I found to be really kind of weird, because all these other ones, you see it at the upfronts, right? They're all, I mean, Disney is all in with all of the stuff that they have on their properties and Peacock and everything else. But then with Paramount Plus, it's like, well, okay, but we're also making licensing money from putting this over here. And that's something where, I don't know, I haven't looked at the financials, admittedly, but that's the kind of thing on the surface that strikes me as like tripping over a dollar to pick up a nickel, as far as, you know, you could have Yellowstone on your service. And, you know, Yellowstone is on the network that your service is named for. It's on the Paramount network, but you can't see it on Paramount Plus.
You know, with each of these Plus services, I think this coming year is going to be fascinating to watch how they come into their own. Paramount Plus was able to do well in its first year because what they did was take franchises or shows that were going to go on other networks, whether it was Nickelodeon or Comedy Central or Paramount Network, and put them on Paramount Plus, i.e. 1883, which was scheduled originally to go on Paramount Network, or iCarly's Return, which was supposed to be on Nickelodeon, and the Return of Rugrats as a computer-generated animated series. So they were able to get by the first year by that. This is going to be the first year where they're going to now have start generating original content. Oh, Halo, another one from those movies on Showtime. So now, this is the year that I think Paramount Plus is going to have to show that, hey, we don't have to take away from other Paramount networks, particularly the cable networks, or CBS, because they got Steel Team, they brought Evil over, which has done quite well for them. And by the way, premieres its new season, I think, this coming weekend. That they're going to have to demonstrate, hey, we can create content on our own. The same thing with HBO Max, the same thing with Peacock, the same thing with Disney Plus, that, hey, we can do things beyond the Marvel shows. We can do things beyond the Star Wars shows. And there's a lot coming from both of those areas, by the way. In addition, Apple TV Plus, I think, is on a great roll. They have had a marvelous year so far. They're doing very well with their shows are on a really great streak. I think they get a lot of Emmy nominations for shows like Snickerdoodle, Ted Lasso, et cetera, et cetera. They've got some big shows in the hopper for the second half of the year. Same thing with Hulu and, of course, Netflix. And two other things to watch out for. First of all, we are going to see Disney Plus and Netflix launch ad-supported formats before the end of the year. And it'll be interesting to see what the advertiser reaction is and how they both play the market. Second thing is, we may not be done with mega content services coming on board. There is a video game type service called Binge, which has been in the hopper now for about a year. We should hear from them soon how soon they're going to launch. It's going to be a mix of esports, gaming, and original scripted programming. And then there is, I think, sort of the secret weapon, secret gun here, which is the new service that Donald Trump, former president, is managing called TNCG Plus. They've got Scott St. John, the former executive of the deal with America's Got Talent involved. It looks like they're going to try to become sort of the anti-woke culture network, the family values network, if you will. And they also have former Congressman Devin Nunes presiding over it. Now they've got their true social media engine out of the way. Now they're going to focus full-time on getting this new service off the ground. And I think it's going to be a bad. And people are going to laugh. And don't laugh this off. There's a lot of people out there who would like to see this kind of programming, sort of the next level of Crown Media type stuff. The anti-woke stuff, the promotion of family values and faith values. There is a marketplace for this, and TNCG Plus, whatever they decide to call this service, may be able to get that market.
Yeah, that exists. It definitely does. And watching them try to service the market will be very interesting. I'm glad you mentioned Apple TV Plus because, again, I've been telling people this. I know it's a mouthful, but I have been equating, quite frankly, season one of Severance with Breaking Bad. I would put it on that very, very elevated level there. That's the degree to which I really enjoyed it. Mythic Quest, I thought, really awesome as well. I mean, I'm a big Sonny guy, so anything Rob McElhaney's involved in, I'm going to enjoy. But, I mean, you are right about that, Simon, that they might have been a little bit slow in getting a following here, but Ted Lasso really helped as far as being a breakthrough. And, boy, they've really got it going. They're cooking with gas now.
They are, and they also have Slow Horses, the Gary Oldman series out of England. We had James Hawes, the original director and first season executive producer on our program back in April. That show is cooking. They just signed two more seasons worth. They'll go to a fourth season, so it'll stay on until until at least 2024. The second season goes on this fall. Schmigadoon, I think, was one of the best shows of last year. Ariana DeBose was fantastic in it, in her role. I think it could be a surprise nominee for Emmy Awards in the Best Comedy category, and certainly in some of the other technical categories as well. And also, you mentioned Severance. For All Mankind has turned out to be one of the best science fiction shows. Foundation, also a great science fiction show. They've got a new limited series called Blackbird, which comes out next month. They are on a roll. The thing that Apple TV Plus still has to do is get the word out and allow more of their creators to talk to the press. Of all the companies that I deal with on Tomorrow Be Televised, Apple TV Plus is the big issue. The PR people for Apple TV Plus are terrific people. It's not their fault that they are not able to get their talent on my program or in other places. It is the PR management of Apple. They have to make a turnaround about this. I think one of the reasons why Apple TV Plus did not have a good first year, even though some of the shows were good, was they would not let their talent talk to the press and to shows like mine. And that's still the case. When we do get talent from Apple TV Plus shows, it's usually through an outside PR agency like Baron Communications here in New York. We have the executives of Fraggle Rock, the return of that show from Henson, Jim Henson, great show. We had James Hawes that way. We've got other people from Apple TV Plus programming that way, too. Pachinko, let's not forget that show. Great new series, one of this year's 10 best so far. I'll be shocked if it's not up for best drama. It's going to get a lot of nominations. Apple TV Plus has to get its PR act together, and it's got to come from the management. From Tim Cook on down, he's got to tell his people, look, it's time to stop screwing up the press. We've got to talk. We've got to tell our story, and we have to tell them. I would suggest that between now and the end of the year, they do an event here in New York where they invite their talent to show up, maybe at the Paley Center or Radio Music Hall, do an all-day event. Next week, did it a couple of years ago. Worked very well. Invite the press to see what their content is. Will they go as supportive with it? No. They've got the money. They got the billions to spend. They don't need to do it now. Maybe down the road, but right now. But I think Apple TV Plus is on a great roll. And with the talent that they have, Rick, I think they could, again, sky is no limit for them.
Very well said. I mean, they might be a behemoth in many other avenues here, be it the phones, tablets, computers, etc. But you have to promote when it comes to the entertainment things here so people know to go check out your service, all the great shows.
I read two more things, too. You mentioned Rob McElhenney. He just announced a couple of days ago he's launched this new entertainment venture called ADIM, A-D-I-M, and it's going to be a way to get creators to own a new generation of content and come out with new franchises of all different genres. It'll be interesting to see if he works with television services on this, whether old or new. So keep your eye on that venture, because Rob has a great track record with It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. The other thing as well is keep your eye on this whole movement to get shows produced by way of NFTs and cryptocurrency and blockchain, because there's more and more efforts. Fox is doing it with a number of their animated shows coming out over this next season. But there are other people out to do the same thing, too. So be interested to see where that becomes a major, major way to get new series off the ground and channels.
Well, that's definitely worth paying attention to because, again, innovation is what's driving all the different platforms here that we're talking about. That's the commonality. So definitely worth that as well. Any other thoughts from this year's new fronts and upfronts that we didn't get to yet, Simon?
One surprise on the new front side was that some of the smart TV set makers, I'm going to go back to something else, Amazon. I think Amazon made it clear that their switch over from IMDb TV, their ad-supported service, to Freevee, was a signal that Freevee is going to become a major player for original content and ad support. They're a Venomite. They really brought out the talent from Amy Poehler to Jennifer Salkin, head of Amazon Studios, and she made it clear, we consider Freevee as big a deal as the shows and the movies we're making for Amazon Prime, or Prime, they call it now Prime Video. The Freevee is going to be a major league service, And they've got a lot of interesting talent, including a new show from Dick Wolf, a new series from Greg Garcia, more lifestyle shows coming up, including one with Jeff Lewis, the former HGTV celebrity homemaker. Keep your eye on Freevee. this could be a major new player, starting with the upfront. So I think that's something to watch. I was very shocked that Samsung did not allow a lot of press to come to their event the following morning. They had a major miss of Samsung there. It would have been a great thing to talk about what Samsung is doing beyond just creating new channels. They're working on a game hub where you can play video games on your television set using your voice, using a controller without having to use a console. And also they're working on a digital assistant in their smart home activity called Home Hub. And it would have been great. And one of their key executives was there, and they would not allow press to come in. And it does, by the way, point out something, too, with the new front. The Interactive Ad Bureau, which does a great job with the new front every year, should allow press to have an all-access pass. It is not a great thing to have you call each and every single organization that's doing a new front event to get in. It should be an all-access deal. And the new front, and the upfront people should do the same thing, too. Because if you don't get through or you have a small venue, they don't get covered. And I thought Samsung really, unfortunately, blew it by not allowing press into their event. They could have allowed press to come in. I've gone to events at their place near 14th Street before, and I was really shocked that they had the any press attitude they did.
Well, here's hoping they take your advice on this, yes, because it is always the one thing I'm always a big believer in is that it is self-defeating not to promote what you got. So, yeah, hopefully they can do a little bit better.
The other thing, too, by the way, is that all of these upfront, newfront events, if there's another commonality to it, they were very well produced. All the in-person events were really, really well produced. They were inventive. They were Roku turned this building Chelsea Factory into like a mini garden. Everybody had flowers when they left the place. It was really, really wonderful. And it was a, as I said, Lincoln Center with Amazon's event. Vizio had a nice event at their New York offices. Everyone was really trying to be unique and different. Vivo, the music video service, had a great concert at Hammerstein Ballroom. With Pitbull and his band of merry folks. It was a really good thing. And also the upfront, Jennifer Hudson at Warner Brothers Discovery was a huge standout. That woman is amazing. I think her syndicated talk show this fall could be a winner. And then the CW, which we should point out, you know, given the fact there's a lot of rumors about the fact they're going to be sold to a broadcast station group like Nexstar, which runs News Nation, I thought Stevie Wonder being there was one of the super highlights of not only Upfront Week, but the year. For him to be there in person to do not only a new song of his, but also one of his classic Superstition with those horns, and people were boogieing the aisles, and boy, it was a great way to end Upfront Week. One of the best. And the man shows that he is still, at his age, one of the great entertainment talents of all time.
Yeah, I mean, that's above and beyond, I would think, what you generally get at these upfronts, no matter how fancy some of them might be. But a personalized performance there from Stevie Wonder is, that's got to be way up there as far as experiences that you get to have at these things here. So, again, it is always great following what's happening with you, Simon, whether it be you here on the show with us. Also, of course, at your hub, tomorrow will be televised at MediaVillage.com. And, of course, your great podcast tomorrow will be televised. So, always a pleasure.
And yes. Point out also that in the last year, we have added, in terms of our podcast, Amazon Music takes our podcast, including on video smart TV sets, Apple Podcasts. Spotify joined us last month. We have a new one called ACAST. And I'm thrilled to say that a few weeks ago, thanks to a wonderful organization called On Podium, we now have a 24/7 website. It is tomorrowwillbetelevised.onpodium.com. As soon as we go off the air, we get the program on that site at the top of the homepage screen. At the bottom of the homepage screen, if you want to give us a question about television or about what you hear, it comes right to me, and we'll hopefully maybe do a new feature where we'll answer viewer questions on the air. I want to really thank OnPodium.com for the opportunity to work with them on this. It's been something we've been working on for 6 or 7 months, and it's just great to see that at long last the show is getting a lot more play and a lot of attention. By the way, earlier today, I was at a special event of iHeartRadio. We've been on iHeartRadio's podcast network now for nearly 3.5 years, and it was wonderful to meet some of the key people at iHeartRadio. I know they really want to give podcasts more and more support. That's one of the things they're working on, and I hope that this coming year that podcasts not only become a major advertising force, but also that the podcast community will support each other. One of the things that we do on our program, we highlight what's on Blog Talk Radio, which is our major carrier, and I wish that every podcast host would do the same to help other podcasts, big and small, grow.
Very well said, Simon, and again, congratulations on all the success with that, and as an entity that made it there on January 14th of this year, let me welcome you in advance here to the 15-year club. It's a pleasure to be in the club. It'll be a pleasure to have you in with us. And here's to much, much more with everything with Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Thank you so much, Simon.
You're very welcome, Rick. And the same to you and Steve and everybody at FDH Lounge. Thank you for what you do. You really make the world of sports, the world of entertainment, the world of television, media, a lot of fun to listen and hear a lot about. And congratulations for one 15-year graduate to another 15-year graduate. All the very best and many, many more years to you and your show.
Oh, thank you so much, Simon. Always a pleasure. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in to FDH Lounge Mini Episode 1485.